All right, and away we go. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Kensal Iqbal. I'm on People's Internet Radio, and I'm on two Shake and Wake radios, thanks to Annie in Florida. And I'm trying to get on my other station there, but I seem to have a little bit of a error, some sort of a miscue or something. I don't know what the deal is there, but this is Kensal Iqbal on peoplesinternetradio.com and Shake and Wake. I do have a couple of friends over there in Europe that are coming back on again. I don't know why in the world they wouldn't even want to talk to me, but they do anyways. Maybe it's my sparkling personality. I don't know. But I want to welcome back Gary Mailer and Pavel Gorniak. Welcome, guys.
Howdy, Steve.
How are you? How are things? Well, I think the phrase is probably, what's the crack?
That's the crack.
What's the crack, guys?
Hey, nice to be on again with you two nutty buddies. It's always a pleasure. It's always fun.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Never a chore.
Never a chore. I hope we do try to keep the colorful metaphors, colorful pub language down to a minimum, guys. Shake and Wake doesn't really like it, but as long as we don't throw a ton of F-bombs and a bunch of other mean and nasty words, I think we'll be okay. But well, before we went on air, the pre-talk, I don't know what kind of ideas you guys have, but I thought we might bring up a couple of issues, social issues. I'm going to, once I relinquish the microphone and mute, I will pass Laurie a message, so let her know what's going on. I did let you know what's going on with my mother, and I'll send Andy a message too. But anyways, I thought we would talk about how people seem to judge, how the system wants us to judge. That is the way the system is set up. They set it up many, many, many hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, on how people judge each other. I'd like to get your thoughts first. Pavel or Gary?
Oh, my God.
Does it matter?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Whatever's good for you. Okay, since Steve asked me, okay, well, that's been my thought about it. Is I actually have been on my way to work, because I take the public transportation to work, I've been observing the way different people act. The generation, of course, the generational differences, like my grandparents' generation, which is about, you know, about 65 and over, my mom's generation, which is about your age there, Steve, and of course, my generation and the younger generation. And I have to say that it's getting bad. The good manners that used to be like opening doors for ladies, letting older people sit on the bus instead of the youngins sitting, all that's going out the window. Like when I had my cast on, and my, like, when I was walking in crutches for about a week, the only people who were standing up to let me sit down. Of course, I refused because I didn't feel like sitting. I was like, you know, whatever. I'm going to stand for a few minutes. That's all right. The only people who were letting me sit down were older people. You know, the youngins didn't even look up. They didn't even look up. They don't even notice that somebody's standing there. You know, it's like they're in their own little world. Of course, cell phones.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's my take on that.
Well, the art of the gentleman's slowly dying out, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. Opening doors, like what you said, standing up for, you know, people on the bus, especially heavily pregnant women on London any transport is.
Yes.
That was a big no-no back in my day. If you didn't stand up for an elderly lady or a pregnant woman, my God, you were lucky you didn't get punched in the mouth. You know, that was the height of ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was a cultural norm, kind of like almost like a cultural zeitgeist, which is
and a modern one. A modern one, if you go to the restaurant with your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever, and you're sitting at the table and they said, oh, come on, we're bringing Stephen and his wife over, and everybody's sitting at the table and one of them's constantly on their phone, not taking a photo or having a nice meal or having a mementos of the evening, but they're on their Facebook and whatever, yeah. Constantly commentating.
You guys have seen the, I don't know who it was, but it was somebody that theorized it could have been Will Rogers or the other guy. I can't remember his name now, but he said there would come a time where people would be in the same room and they wouldn't even socialize with each other from technology. It happens so often. You see these memes being passed along social media that show quite a few people in the same room at a table, and they all have their phones up and they're texting to each other. They're not even talking to each other.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that the only reason that you weren't talking to your other half is A, you had an argument, or B, you're reading a good book or you're watching a good TV film, or you know, that kind of way. That's the only time you didn't really talk. But yeah. Now it's just constantly, you're bombarded. And I went to the cinema not so long ago. I can't remember what I saw. The amount of people sitting there on their phones while they paid good money to see a film, I was like, come on, guys. The film's only 2 hours. You can't sit down and enjoy something for 2 hours without pulling out your phone and Snapchatting and all the rest of it. I mean, if I had a baseball bat, I would have cracked one of them. It was just ridiculous.
You want to do that, don't you? Why do you still want to do that? Crack
That's
your phone.
Irish temperament.
Yeah. Well, actually, regarding...
But it's just rude, though.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I turn mine off whenever... Well, I don't go to cinema anymore because everything is, let's just say below my standards as far as what they're showing in movie cinemas.
I know, it's so all bread and circus, but it's just politeness. You're going to a public environment or whatever, a private environment, and they're still on their bloody phones.
Well, actually, even worse than that. Okay, the movie theater, fine, it's entertainment. You know, there's a lot of noise going on anyway, a lot of visual effects, sound effects. So most people don't even see your phone. Like, they don't even care. They don't pay attention to it if you have it out. But the one place I will not accept cell phones at are public libraries. That's just the bottom of the barrel for me. You know, like whenever I see somebody with their phone out in the library, I'm like, "Quick, dude, this is a library. God damn, what happened to the be quiet? You know, people are trying to read kind of thing. You know, where the classic librarians shushing you so you don't disturb even if you're whispering to somebody. You know, and now it's okay to have a cell phone out. I don't know. Am I wrong on that or what?
No, it's just different generations, different things. People want things now. They want, you know, they can't wait 2 minutes. They can't do this. They can't do that. They want it now, now, now. And when they get the information, they don't even know what they want to do with it.
People have been conditioned over the last 60 plus years because of television and movies and stuff like that to have everything within a 30-minute or a one-hour time period, you know, or if you happen to go to a movie and watch it without being on your phone 2 hours, or whatever the case is.
Yeah, of course. And another thing that I've noticed lately, well, not lately, for the last, say, maybe 10, 15 years or whatever, is the way people dress, their attire. Do you know when you're going out, they're going out in tracksuits. You know, when we were going out, you had to, you know, smart casual.
Yes.
But they're going out with the jeans hanging around their backside I don't know. And the women back in the 40s, the way they dressed, they were amazing, stunning, as well as the men. Yes. You know, everyone was prim and proper.
Yes.
Yeah. But now you just look there and you're kind of looking in the line, whatever, and you're going, I don't even know if you're a male or female. I've given up.
That changed with the sexual revolution of the 60s. It did.
Oh, I mean, I'm all, you know, do what you like, you know, you're an individual, but at the same time, I don't know. I've given up on some people.
You got to distinguish the sexes, don't you? I mean, you can't just look at somebody and be like, what exactly are you? You know, So but, you know, especially with the young ones, because
I don't,
a lot of them have been developed. Sorry?
I see where I see where you're trying to bring up there, and I want to go in a direction. They, I think drag queens is one of the really good terms for them, one of the good characterizations. They've been around for a long, long time.
You still call them drag queens?
Sure, sure they do. They've been around for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think historically they have been gay men for the most part. For the most part, the vast majority of them have been gay men. And, you know, they've made their living as drag queens. A lot of them have. And there's been a lot of men that call themselves straight and they dressed up as women, as a fetish or whatever. Those have been around for a long, long time too. But this agenda that's being put out today, the more or less child molesters, pedophiles doing this, wanting to get a hold of our children, something has to be done about that. I'm not for killing people, but
wasn't it Vogue magazine that had some? Maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. It was one of those glossy papers that they had a picture of. I think it was a 10-year-old, and it's all.
Well, yeah,
have them over in America. Would you have the little
10-year-old drag queen
shows for women for kids?
The 10-year-old drag queen, yeah. The last report
I heard about that.
This
is being glamorized as normal.
And yes, and wasn't that the little fella? Sorry, Pavel. Wasn't that little fella there? Wasn't he on ketamine with two gay fellas in the back?
It looks like he's on some kind of a drug. It looks like he is totally whacked out of his gourd. And the last I heard, his mother's not really liking this agenda much anymore, and then it kind of went away. So I don't really know if neither of them are liking this. I don't know if either of them or both of them have been abducted and being drugged or what. I don't really know. We don't know what the truth is because we don't get the truth.
No, we never will. We never will. We just know that she got paid handsomely for it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm guessing, allegedly.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure, Steve, you heard about this. A few years ago, a former NFL player and actor, what was his name? Terry Crews, who was at a celebrity party hosted by one of Hollywood's elite producers or whatever. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Charlie Rose. I don't want to be wrong. Uh-huh. I don't know if the case is still on, but I think it was Charlie Rose. And he came up to Terry Crews in a really crowded place and tried to grab his genitals.
Sure. Well,
now, Terry Crews is almost 6'6", and he's pretty much huge. He pushed Charlie Rose 3 times, and then in an interview, Terry Crews said that he looked extremely intoxicated.
Yeah. Well, this is news to a lot of people, but it's not news to me. I have said it over and over again on air and on social media. You know, these people are not, they're not straight and they're not right. They are pedophiles and they're also gay. For the most part, everybody that gets into government or Hollywood, there are so many reports that so many Hollywood movie stars are pedophiles and they're also gay and they're claiming to be straight.
Yes. Well, it's not called Hollywood for a reason, is it?
Not at all.
Well, is this ancient symbolism behind the whole Hollywood thing? Just the name itself. People think it's just a made up name, but the term Hollywood is from, I think, British pagan mythology, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and it's... Go on, Pavel, sorry.
Jordan Maxwell talked about it in one of his longer interviews with Project Camelot.
Well, it's not just British. Not just British. It's the entire system's paganism, paganistic view.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have pagans in America, Steve?
Of course, we got the Catholic Church.
but do you know, like the pagans, like the witches, the witchfinder generals, and all them lot, they were brought over by the English
yes.
in the Mayflower.
Yes.
Did you have it beforehand, or was it that just Native
Well,
Americans?
the natives, they don't even like that term, I've read. They just want to
That's
be
true.
called, they don't like Native Americans because there is no America as far as, as far as they're concerned, it's their land or whatever. But they give praise to the elements and the universe. They give praise to the horse, the wolf, the bear, the
Yeah, Mother
snake,
Nature, as we call it.
Mother Nature, exactly. They
There's
give
nothing wrong with that.
they asked for rain, whatever. They did their dance,
Yeah, the rain dance, the sun dance,
the
God
rain
knows what
dance, the
else.
sun dance, the moon dance, exactly. They had all of that.
Yeah.
They praised and worshiped the universe until
And then good old Whitey came over and gave him all the good old-fashioned diseases.
until Christopher Columbus discovered America.
Bless him, hey. Bless him.
Bless that Spaniard, right?
Oh, God. Bless his
Listening
cotton
for you,
socks.
yeah. Well,
But getting back to Hollywood, isn't Hollywood what the wands were made out of? The holly, out of the holly tree.
yeah.
The ones.
Wands, yeah, as in Harry Potter. Do you know the magic wands?
Oh, the wand. I think it was. I think I have heard that. Yes.
Sorry, is my Irishness getting confusing for you, Steve?
It
Speak English.
I'm trying my best, boys. I'm trying my best.
No,
And I got a
you've
head cold, too, so that's not helping.
I'm not speaking Polish, so bear with me here, Gary, okay? We're trying to stay on the same page here, okay?
Yeah.
Okay,
I
whatever
have.
suits, boys.
Seems like I have read something about that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And
Well,
yeah, it's
wasn't.
just weird what people keep hold of, old traditions. Like over here,
Yes.
we have, well, England, it's like the magpie. And there's a few people there. They see a magpie walking down the road or flying above them or whatever. They
Yes.
just turn around and got to say, "Morning, Major, how are you today?" And immediately they've got to look for another magpie. And there's some people that get completely freaked out if they don't see another magpie because they think their day is going to be ruined and all the rest of it. It's a cock and bull story, but it's ingrained in us. Touching wood, not walking underneath ladders or whatever. Crikey.
Well, just to make another point regarding the Indians, as you could just, I guess you could call them, they hate the Native American term.
Oh,
Just
yeah.
put in perspective with us Europeans. Just imagine, like, for in my example, like if somebody calls me Russian, like, I won't even react to that too much, but it's the same difference really. Like if somebody out of hate called me a Russian, I take offense to that, which is the same thing as those cultures from, I mean, the current North America, the present North America, as instead of calling them Navajo or whatever, because those are different cultures, different countries, different belief systems.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Pavel, you get to an age where I grew up, they were called Red Indians. Then after Red Indians, they were called Navajos. Well, they were called Navajos up to World War II because they used their language for the Enigma codes and all that kind of stuff. But then it starts getting confusing and all this political correctness started coming in. I know you can't drop the N word. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. But when did they start changing it? I mean, like the Irish, they're called either Paddies or Micks or the English, Limeys, the Americans, Yanks. Some of them are going to get really upset with me saying that. They were saying, well, we're from the South. We don't like that term. Do you know that kind of thing? But it's all generalization and all this PC political correctness nonsense, codswallop, as I call it, has ruined everything. It's ruined everything. Everything has to be watered down so people can understand. I can understand perfectly. Just have to tell me once, It's
Yeah,
just bonkers.
I actually watched I watched an interview today with Talib Kweli. He's a musician and music producer from the States. I think he's from Ohio. He said that all this stuff, saying I don't have a racist bone in my body, is cock and bull, like you said. everyone's a little bit racist. Even Dave Chappelle said it. Like all these, people said it, and like actors, comedians.
Of course. Yeah.
Because we're all judgmental to a certain extent. I mean, you can't be open-minded to everything because you don't know everything. So, I mean, if I say something about a person I just met, it happens to offend them culturally. If they tell me once politely, listen, this is offensive to me, okay, I'll remember that.
I wanted to bring something up. I wanted to bring something up that's kind of along that that idea or along that line of thinking. I've heard many times that it is said that morals are subjective. I'd like to get what get what your thoughts on that are.
Well, like I said, it's whatever morals I was taught as a child, they seem to be non-existent now, i.e. open up a door for a lady or standing up at a dinner table when she goes to sit down, then you sit down after, all that kind of stuff. All those morals and subjects, they're all gone. This is what we're trying to get back to, is they're all gone. Everyone's kind of like out for each other, which is wrong. You know, but in the real world, when you go down, you know, downtown, here's an example. There's an old common English phrase that I use is morning love or evening love to a lady. And it's just the way I've been brought up. They're trying to ban it in some parts of Ireland. I mean, it's a term of endearment. I mean, how crazy is that? You can't even say that. It's just what I'm used to. Yes, I'm long in the tooth, probably. It's just the way I am, and I don't care. I still do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the way that phrase is, I don't believe, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, but morals as far as, well, let's just say child molestation or child marriage, murder, eating dogs and cats like some cultures do, not eating pork or not eating beef like a lot of cultures do. Mm-hmm. I think that's the sort of line of morals that I was trying to get to, though.
Oh, okay. See, that what you said about child marriages, that's when you go into a slippery slope, because there's some people in their religion goes, it's part of our religion. No different than the Rastafarian having a massive big cannabis joint saying it's a part of my religion.
Yes. And those are the same religion.
There's borders there where you kind of go, really?
Well, those are the same religions and the same cultures that stone their wives and daughters for looking at an unmarried man or even associating with an unmarried man or beheading.
It's a slippery slope on this one, Steve, because no matter how you reword anything, there's always going to be something to say, that's not right, you know?
Well, one of the sects that actually does this, what you're talking about, Steve, like beheading, stoning women and stuff, those are the Wahhabis. Of course, the Wahhabis are a sect of Muslims, not accepted by neither Shiites or Sunnis. They're actually a creation of their own. Sorry?
They're a breed of their own, aren't they?
Well, they claim to be Muslims, but Muslims don't accept them. To them, those are just like extremists who claim to be Muslim, but they're not really Muslim. They're actually a creation of the CIA, I think the MI6 or the MI5, and the British government in general, from what I've heard.
And the Mossad,
I have a Muslim friend who despises Wahhabis, and they're actually
and the
Saudi Arabia.
Yes,
Saudi Arabia is a fake state.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fake. It's set up kind of like Israel is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's two different sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah, it's true. Steve, what do you think of morals then?
Well, I think there's only 10 laws. 10 rules to live by. You know, they're in the Bible. do not kill, do not steal, do not covet thy neighbor's wife. And I cannot remember the others right now, but, you know, But the universal,
remember the Sabbath is one.
The universal moral over all religions and all peoples should be do no harm.
Yeah, just be nice. Help your fellow man, woman, child out. You know, help them out if you can.
Yep.
You know, it could be anything by pushing a car or giving them a lift or anything. Do you know?
That's another one they should have included in the Bible. Feed the hungry. That should be also a universal, or make sure you have a roof over your head.
They actually did. They actually did until Rome did something about that too.
Because it was in the Book of the Dead, in the old Egyptian religion of the, in the Book of the Dead, they had that. And actually, death to them was a positive thing. They actually had a celebration. The ancient Egyptians had a celebration when somebody died, which means they freed themselves of the flesh vessel and went to the other side of the Nile when they were finally free. So that's why the Book of the Dead is a positive. It's a positive book, what I've heard.
Yeah, there was a comment in the chat room, guys, from Will. He said the Catholic, actually, it was the Roman Catholic Church started the Muslim faith. Muhammad was, his wife was a Catholic nun.
Muhammad had
very, very high associations with the Catholic Church at the time.
Yeah, well, I've heard from, I can't remember what source. I'll have to have a buddy of mine from England, whether this is true, that Muhammad wanted to be a pope, but they kicked him out of the church or something. I'll have to make sure, but something about along those lines, like he wanted to be a pope, basically. Yeah.
That's a new one on me.
That's what
I always thought that Muslims were older than the Roman Catholics.
No. Rome, the Holy Roman Empire, never died out. They actually just changed.
No, it hasn't. The same as the British Empire's never died out.
They just changed their names from Caesars to Popes is all they did.
Okay. Now I get you. We're on the same page.
And it's Babylon never fell either. They just changed their.
No.
Babylon.
The gardens are hanging sweet this year, aren't they? Hey, with all wars and famines and God knows what else is hanging around.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Anyway, let's see. Getting back to something we veered off from, the cultural zeitgeist.
Yes, go on.
Call it. You know, like I've noticed when people, like, doesn't matter what age, are talking with each other, like, you know, they're talking, three or four people, and one of them is surfing his phone or her phone. I've noticed that in Poland, women, even older women, not just younger women, older women, are on phones a lot more than men or guys in general. A lot more. Yeah. Guys usually, you know, they're talking, they have a conversation with somebody over the phone, you know, and they end it and that's it. Then they do whatever. But the women, and I've peeked into a couple of phones, just like, you know, discreetly, just to see what the general thing is, whether it's Facebook or whatever. And usually it's gossip pages. You know, gossip pages. Like, this brings nothing to light. Like, there's one thing. You know, reading an interesting article about something, and some other reading some gossip about a celebrity. You know, it's two different things, totally.
Yeah, well, celebrities now are kind of like demigods, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they are. They are the gods, basically, to some people.
Yeah. But
as well. So.
You know, there should be some sort of decorum about the art of using the mobile phone in public.
Mm.
You know, I hate talking to people and then their phone goes off. understand if it's an emergency, but they come to speak to say to me or whatever, and then they're spending 10 minutes on the phone, I just walk away. And then they go into a mood saying, why did you walk away? Well, you're on the phone for 10 minutes. I'm not standing here. Life's too short. I've got to keep going.
Yeah.
Maybe that's rude. I don't know.
Yeah, it is rude, but what are you going to do? And is it some?
It is what it is, isn't it?
Sorry?
It is what it is. But over in Ireland now, I've noticed this, they're doing a trial thing, which I think is brilliant. That I think it's in Tralee, it's a secondary school. You're not allowed to bring in mobile phones to school at all. At all. You're not allowed to, not, they're not allowed in the building. If they are in the building, they're putting one of these, you know, those bags that you go to the concerts and they zip it up and they put a padlock, you know, those bags that you see at concerts.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to get it until the end of the day and all the rest of it. And they've noticed that intellectually productivity in the classrooms has risen by 10%.
You know, they,
it's only been going for, I think it's been running for a month. Just, they've done it for laughing giggles. To be honest with you, and it's worked.
I think that's a brilliant idea. It really is. But there are some school systems here in America that have actually gone to the, I don't know what the device is called right now, but it blocks cell phone signals for a certain certain area. You know, they're allowing the kids to bring their cell phones in, and but they can't use them. They can't text anybody. They can't use Google. They can't talk to anybody.
That's me, is it?
Sorry,
I think I got a new phone. I got something to do with my phone, and it keeps, I think it's me. It's keep beeping. Can you hear it?
No.
Nope.
Oh. Okay. Perfect's me, then. I'm going mad.
Talking about cell phones, and your goes off, huh?
Yeah. The devil's in the detail. Yeah, but on the other side of what I'm saying, onto that thing, there's another school. It's called a Tech, which they allow kids to use their iPads instead of books. So they've got to download the books because they were saying, I get what they're saying and all the rest of it, because they said the books are too heavy and it's causing curvature of the spine, so to speak, for the little kids going to school using their bags.
Well, people in Poland have figured that one out, of course. Now they're giving the kids suitcases to drag along.
Suitcases
that normally you would take into the plane, you know, like as a hand luggage
on wheels.
Yeah, and these kids are actually dragging the suitcases to school to hold all their books and everything else that's useless to them. Yeah, suitcases.
The world's gone mad, lads. Worship Mother Nature. The world's gone mad.
I don't think, well, when I was a boy in school, we had lockers. We had all of our books. We kept them in the lockers, and we went to our locker and got the next book for the next class.
Yeah, that, but that's all fine, but then it's based on time, you know? If you don't have time, go to your locker. You've got to go to the classroom, and then the teacher gives you a load of abusive words saying, why didn't you get your books out, and all the rest of it. And
Yeah.
The game's rigged, lad. The game's
rigged.
It is.
Homeschool your kids and you won't have any problems.
I don't actually teach anything interesting or useful in these schools anyway. They don't teach anything useful. They don't teach you how to protect the environment.
I think some bits and pieces are, Pavel. I think some things are. I mean, like, for me, going to school, I loved metalwork and woodwork. I loved that. I couldn't give a damn about maths, English. Well, maths to a point, I love maths, but English or parts of history, I couldn't care less. Just put a spanner and a screwdriver in my hand and I'm happy out. I'll be there all day just screwing, unscrewing, building, just doing something.
Growing stuff.
I loved it.
Loved it.
And science I loved. You know, one of the worst thing they gave to me, I can't remember what the substance was called, but when you burn it, it smells like rotten eggs.
Oh, I can't remember.
Sulfur.
Sulfur, yeah, that's it. Man, did I have fun with that at school. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I stunk every classroom out. Just took it from the science lab and just burned it away in the corner. Just to get out of lessons.
Have they don't have these courses. Like when I went to high school in Canada, they had home economics, and that class you're talking about there, Gary, they had that. Now they don't have it anymore.
Why? Home economics is good.
Right?
Running the home, learning how to cook, sew, and all the rest of it. I know how to sew. I know how to cook.
I had
basic skills.
I had to take it, yeah. I had to take typing.
That's cool. Typing now, Steve. You're that bit older than me.
And I had to do it on the old-style typewriters, too. You know, it wasn't none of these keyboards.
So you were keeping fit as well when you were doing it.
Yeah, and I was doing the sound effect. I was doing all the sound effects too.
you forgot the bell.
Well, us being Polish people being behind a lot, we actually use smoke signals.
Brilliant, man! Brilliant.
Yeah. At the school toilets, you're all sitting there smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
School was fun.
I don't know. Not for me.
Just to socialize people.
I didn't like it.
I didn't like secondary school. I loved my junior school.
Yeah.
I'm still friends with them today. Most of the people in secondary, not really. Couldn't care less, really.
Right. But and once they got to high school, that's when everything changed.
Yeah. We're going back to it. All morals has changed. You've gone in there with your own set of morals and someone else has just bulldozed over and you're going, you know, it is a survival of the fittest to an extent, isn't it, high school?
Yes. Well,
there's so many.
I think so many things changed from middle school to high school is because of the hormones kicking in and the boys and girls.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't know. I'm just a geek. I just love engines. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say geek? Is that? Yeah, I can. I
sure. Geek's not a bad word. Geek's okay.
And you said screwdriver, so if you can use screwdriver, you can use that as well, I guess.
Yeah, but there's a double meaning to screwdriver. There's a screwdriver, there's a drink.
A drink.
Look who you're talking with. I'm talking with a Polack.
Come on. Good old vodka and orange. You can't beat it.
You certainly can't.
I'm just
dribbling now. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, there's actually record amount of people all over the world that are taking their children out of the public education system and homeschooling them because, you know, they remember how school was, and it might seem to be 10 times worse now for kids than what it was 30, 40 years ago. And it probably is.
It's good for them.
It's done on purpose.
Sure it is.
Yeah. Homeschooling, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. And I believe social media has made it 10 times worse for children.
Yeah. Yes.
Look at all this cyberbullying. That's been going on. Children committing suicide because of cyberbullying. You know, they have some sort of a social media page, and they do one little thing incorrectly or that's seen as beyond the norm. They get crucified by thousands and thousands and thousands instead of just being crucified by a handful. Like it used to be.
Yeah. And back in the day, what did you have? You have a punch up in the middle of the schoolyard to sort it out.
Yeah.
That was the classic way. That was it. If you want.
I can't tell you how many times in my neighborhood there was maybe six or eight of us real close to the same age. If we had a fight, we just fought it out. And then 10 minutes later, we went back to playing soccer or football or baseball, whatever the case was. We fought it out, and then we went back to playing.
Yeah.
Regarding the cyberbullying, I'm kind of perplexed by that. I mean, if I'm, you know, if I comment on something on Facebook or whatever, and then people start to threaten me, you know what I do? I just turn off the damn computer, I go outside and forget all about it. And I come back like, a little bit later, I turn it on. Oh, this is crap again. All right, whatever. I'll read it if I feel like it. If not, I'll watch a movie. So I don't know what
this is. It's very easy. You can turn it off.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's simple. Turn it off, forget about it, go outside, do something productive, useful or not useful, you know, and then come back later and, you know, you forget about that whole thing, you know. So I don't get the cyberbullying crap. I don't get it really, like, but whatever. Well, I guess people are affected by it because they think that the world ends at the computer and the internet. Fine.
Cyberbullying is just the... just the continuation of the fight between, you know, whatever, the fight between the man and the woman, the fight between the Muslims and the Christians, the fight between this group and that group. Cyberbullying has only taken that to 100 times.
It's ramped up everything. Everyone seems to be offended by everything. Whatever happened to how sticks and stones break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Where did that happen?
That's what I'm talking about. Exactly. Thank you, Gary. That's what I'm talking about.
Names do hurt. I would have rather gotten beaten up a lot more than what I got name called. Name calling hurts a lot more, I believe. To me, it does.
On the psychological side of it, Steve.
Yeah.
But if you just say, like, for argument's sake, the ginger kids. I've got four ginger kids.
Uh-huh.
And I said to them, you're going to be called this and that because your hair color, same as my hair color back in the day, ginger. That's right. And I used to be called all this, and I was preparing them.
Right.
But I was saying things far more worse to them in a loving sense. And then when they all went to school and, of course, all their peers were going, oh, you're ginger this, you're ginger that, or whatever. And they all turned around and said, is that the best you can do? My dad's far worse than what you're saying. And they all laughed it off.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a shield that I did love it. I did know what I was doing, and it wasn't abusive. It was just a shield that I was giving them because I went through that little bit of a stage. So whatever you went through, you're going to have to pass that down, you know, in some sort of metaphoric
speech,
you know, to the next generation.
I've learned to do that now over the last 10 years or so. I have. But, you know, when I was younger, boy, it did. It was, well, when I was in my teens, it really hit hard.
I know. And that's a hard time. The teens. If we could just go from being a child to an adult and forget the teens, we'd be fine.
Yes. Yes, middle school was okay, but I got into high school and that was it.
Yeah. There's so many assholes in middle schools, and everybody thinks they're right. You know? And getting back to your point of homeschooling, I think the best place is be homeschooled on a farm where you learn about the animals, you learn how to run the business of the farm, you learn how to cook, you learn how to do everything.
That's
it's
the
just
way,
fantastic.
That's the way, you know, there's still people alive today. You don't have to be 120 years old to have grown up this way. I have an uncle and an aunt that are still alive, and they grew up that way. It's only been in the last 50, 60 years since the end of the war. You know, that was 74 years ago, but it didn't really start changing until the mid 50s when television come around. And there are still homes around in my area that do not have running water and do not have toilets on the inside of the house. You know, they have little outhouses, that's what they're called, or whatever. They have the lack of a better word, they have their toilets out in the backyard and in a little shack.
That's better, you know,
because
if you're just finished a binge and then you go outside, you know,
you're not going to stink the house up, are you? Not gonna stink the house up.
Exactly. I mean, you go outside and you do your whatever you gotta do. You do your censored business. I guess the FCC that wants to call it that. You do your censored business. You come back inside, you know, and the house doesn't stink like, you know, whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Apple, you're a gifted genius. I hope the world's listening to you.
Of course I am. Gifted.
You're a man amongst men. Look at you.
Yeah,
but on the downside, if you're there minus 30 degrees and it's snowing outside, are you going to go running outside there to do your business?
You have
stuck to the toilet.
Sometimes you have to. Hey. I've actually had to do that before.
It's our family cottage out here in Poland. It's in the middle of the woods, and there's an outhouse there. There's no toilet on the inside, you know. So it's a free-for-all. I mean, you go out, if you got to do your business, you go out to the outhouse, you do it, you come back inside. I mean, nobody has died yet. The goblins or whatever, wolves haven't captured anybody yet. So, well, that works.
That's true.
We're not doing it. I mean, you know, like people back then in the 19th century, this, especially I'm talking about Poland in general or the Slavic countries, a lot of their inventions have been degraded, have been insulted because they're freaking genius. Some of these things are like really, really genius on what we've invented, created. You know, like the outhouse. That's awesome. The with the Finnish people, they invented the hot tub along with the Russians, or the jacuzzi, or the banya. So a lot of these things are, you know, they're vilified to an extent by the Western world because these things work. And if you're not sick, if you're healthy, because these things work, then you know, the old Rockefeller system of medicine, you know, gets people rich. So
that's
the way I see it, that way. Whatever is vilified is actually good, and whatever is, you know, pushed down our throats in a literal sense.
There's a couple stories that have circulated around the internet. I don't, you know, it might be a little difficult to verify them, but one story is there was some missionaries that went to a South American tribe. To teach them about religion, God, Jesus, and all this stuff. And, they had convinced the village elders, or the tribe elders and the medicine people, that these medicines that these people had been using for centuries were they were of the devil. They were the devil's work.
Oh, yeah.
And they took their medicines and brought them back to America and studied them, and actually started convincing the tribal people to take the Western medicine, the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And within just a few years, 3 to 5 years, the tribal people were dying off from Western diseases.
Oh, yeah.
And they were still...
That makes sense.
Huh?
That all makes sense.
Sure.
Because, you know, their DNA their DNA is completely different to what ours is. We're kind of technically, I suppose, in the books, we're used to it. They're not. Of course, their body's going to react to it, and their body's going to fight whatever it is. And if it's stronger than what their immune system is, they're gone.
Yeah, yeah. And there's another story. Oh, there's another story that a middle-aged man was dying of some sort of a cancer. I don't even know what it is now, but he had like stage 4 or stage 5 cancer, and the medicine wasn't doing anything for him, the Western medicine, and he sought alternative treatments, and he cured himself within a short amount of time. And doctors had told him he had told him to get his life straight. He only had a few months to live, And he sought these alternative medications and alternative medicines and cured himself. Went back to his doctor 20 years later. And like I said, I haven't been able to verify this, but it's a story that goes around. And
but there's another one that's going around, and it's people, especially with people in your neck of the woods in the army, they're beginning to microdose them with mushrooms, magic mushrooms.
Yes, yes.
For psychological problems.
Yes.
I've read a couple of reports. I'm not too sure if they're in medical journals yet or whatever. They reckon it's amazing for, I mean, they're not on Prozac or anything. They're not going completely bonkers.
Yeah.
But the microdosing, and it seems to be not getting them quite normal, if whatever normal is, but they're trying to, it's putting them into a situation where they can cope.
Sure.
And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. But the finish to that story was, he went back to that same doctor 20 years later.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
And he was cured 20 years later. And that doctor asked him how he did it. And he said, you know, he told him he did this and he did that. And it was all natural medicines and natural remedies. And the doctor told him, well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. And the man allegedly died the next day from that cancer that he had beat 20 years later.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Figure that story out, huh?
Wow.
That's a lot to take in.
Steve, going back to your tribal versus Western society.
How about we take a break? Pavel,
sorry.
How about we take a break first and come back after the break and do that?
All right. Okay, I'll get a glass of water in that case.
All right. Take a little nature break if you have to.
Yeah, my toilet's inside, so I don't have to go too far. Good luck with your 6 miles walk to the John, Pavel.
Okay, thanks. I'll bring back some mushrooms if you want.
We'll take about six.
Guys, I'll be back.
Yeah, we'll take about 6 minutes here. So we'll be right back, everyone. All right, welcome back to the final hour. Or actually, we're only going to do another 30 minutes, and I'm going to play some tunes to run out the rest of the show at the half past the hour. But the fearsome threesome is back for another 30 minutes. So welcome back, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, absolutely. I wanted to bring something up a little bit along the lines, and we can go in any other direction that we want to, or we can continue on in this direction. I have seen a lot of people. I have been alive 55 years, and I have seen a lot of people force things on their children, put them into some sort of a sport that they didn't like, or some other, you know, social setting that they didn't like to be in. And it really affected, I was put in those types of things as a child, and I didn't really like them. I was put into certain sports, and I didn't really care for them. I didn't like them. I just played them because my parents thought I would like them. And I didn't.
Well, that's fair enough on your parents, like, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe there have been a lot of parents that are introducing things to their children, making them, or not making them, but taking them to certain events or sporting events. And if they show an interest, then enroll that boy or girl into that sport or whatever that case happens to be. I think that is a lot better way to do something instead of forcing a child to do something that they don't want to do.
Like picking school for them, picking a religion for them, picking their friends for them, making them play with kids their age that maybe they don't want to play with. It's all sophisticated child abuse.
Sure it is.
That's the way I see it.
Of course. But I mean, like, getting back to you in sports, I mean, when I was growing up, it was either soccer, football, or cricket. that was my main interest. So I thought I'd give them to my kids as an interest. I've got two girls and two boys. None of them wanted to go anywhere near it. They ran away from a mile. But I got my youngest fella now. He loves boxing. I'm not a big fan of boxing. Sure. I'll watch it, but I'm not a big fan. He loves it. So let him run with it.
Did you accept their choices? Their decisions?
Yeah. Of course. I mean, especially with Irish parents, I used to play, we have a thing called GAA, Gaelic football, and hurling. Now, I love hurling because hurling's like cricket, much faster, but hurling's a great game if anybody wants to see it. But the football, no, my dad used to play for County where he used to come from, and it's from father to son. That's how you have this thing over here in Ireland, especially in the GAA. It's very tied in, you know, and the mothers are so proud if your child is paying for their county and then winning an All Ireland. That's like winning the World Cup or the World Series over here.
What do you think about this American mother that is pretty much, for the lack of a better term, going to castrate her 3-year-old son because she wants him to be a trans girl or whatever?
I know what this is. This is Munchausen.
Jurnith.
This is pure Munchausen. And it's not even by proxy. It is them at them. That mother, don't take this the wrong
she
way.
She needs to be flogged.
She needs a slap in the face.
She needs to be flogged, yeah.
Yeah, yep, yep. If she was in any other country, Muslim, Jewish country, or whatever, African country, she would have been beaten with a big stick. That's just a mental illness. Why don't you just go off and adopt a girl or try for a daughter?
Yeah.
Why not do that?
Yeah.
But then you got to remember the condition that, you got to remember why she might have been conditioned that way.
She could have been. But on the same lines of that, I saw a news article. I think it was on Russian television today news or RT news. A guy in Texas had a really shitty divorce, and the mother wanted his son to be a girl, and the son kind of agreed to it. I don't know if he was bullied into it.
Sure,
or whatever,
he was. Well, but the father, not so much
an injunction,
not so much bullied,
puberty blockers,
not so much bullied. Children want to please their parents.
Of course,
children want to please adults. I mean, that. A 3-year-old kid. I think he's on video. The 3-year-old kid said, "Yeah, my mommy wants me to be a girl, so I'm gonna be a girl."
So that fella's gonna grow up, yeah?
Yeah.
Totally confused.
Yeah.
He was pushed into this. So that kid now is 18, and he's going out to world, going out to make a life, find a husband or wife, whatever, job. Can you imagine the mental illness that from being 3 up to 18 that's going to be built up?
Yeah.
And one day that. It's going to be a lot worse than someone shooting up a school.
Absolutely.
This kid's going to be like something like the Joker. Yeah.
Can you guys take it for a couple of minutes? I'm going to mute and be right back, if that's okay.
Okay.
No problem.
What do you think, Pav?
Well, again, you got to remember the cultural conditioning for the whole society. In that case, in America, this has been pushed down these people's throats for the last 20, 30 years. Like really intensely, and he's been pushed down. So maybe this mother that Steve spoke about, she was just, you know, she was kind of just like dragged into that. She might have been watching TV steadily for whatever many years, and she accepted that as the norm for society. You know, because a lot of people, especially through vaccines, become immune to thinking, really, or critical thinking. So she might have been like, oh, okay, that's what's popular now. Okay, I don't want another kid. I can't afford another kid. But since I have a son, he can become a girl. You know, like that kind of thing. Like she was preconditioned for that.
Look, I'm a great believer of a child being a child. Let them climb a tree, break their arm, you know, do all the childish things, you know, like we did as kids. But this 3-year-old, and if I went to that 3-year-old, would you like to be a policeman, honey? Yes, I'd like to be a policeman. Would you like to be a puppy? Yes, I'd like to be a puppy. I mean, the kid's only doing what, like Steve said, trying to please the adult or making fun. This is just no. That's it. That's another form of child abuse, and I think that woman needs to be beaten with a big stick, to be honest with you, because it's not right. Now, when there's maybe when they're 15, 16, and they turn around and they say, you know, Daddy Pavel, I'm gay, then that's fine. You know, it's just something that you develop, you know, just through nature and nurture.
I'm back.
What did I miss? 3-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Did I miss something? I'm back.
No, we're just killing time till we get here.
Okay. You're all right. I've got an interesting story. This is actually a true story. I've seen this man on Oprah before, many, many years ago. Probably
Who's
even.
Who's Oprah?
Sorry?
Who's Oprah?
Oprah Winfrey?
The devil herself.
Devil herself, yeah. And I also, maybe it wasn't Oprah, maybe it was Dr. Phil. You do know who Dr. Phil is, right?
The devil's dude.
But anyways, allegedly, this is a true story. Mm-hmm. When he was born, at his circumcision, I don't know whether the doctor was drunk or high or whatever the case was, but he totally clipped him. Pew! You know, snipped him, gone. Snipped him off, gone. And they didn't really have the knowledge back then, and they didn't really have the time to try to fix him. So what the doctors convinced his parents to do was to pretty much take him totally do away with him. Take his testicles off,
what?
Too. Yeah, take his testicles off, too. And they said, make him live as a girl. And he did for many, many years. And he is just one messed up dude right now because of it.
Yes. Yeah. You know what he changed his name to? Just to make everything run smoothly?
Yeah.
You know what he changed his name to? Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I'm sorry. I'll go to hell for that one.
Oh, the American's going to love you. But anyway, I was going to say, yeah, I've got a Jewish friend. I do have a Jewish friend. I've known him for a long, 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 long time. And he's a proud Jew, and rightly so. But we were talking about the circumcision thing. And we were just chatting and chatting and chatting. And I asked him, well, why does the rabbi suck the penis, you know, when they do the circumcision? And I can't remember what terminology he said it in Hebrew to me. But the rate of hepatitis C and all the rest of it from the rabbi to the child, they're going through the roof.
Wow.
And he phoned up his rabbi and all the rest of it. And his rabbi is really nice. He's a good fellow. And he said, yeah, it's a true story. Yeah, wherever you, Gary told you, that's a true story. Yep, I don't do that.
Mm.
It's a true story.
Wow. Nice. Nice. Who would have thought religious doctors would lead to disease? Wow.
Yeah. And people laugh at witch doctors. At least they're honest.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Jews, thanks for reminding me, Gary. I was supposed to do a segment about Jews in Poland and in Europe in general after World War II between 1945 and about 1956.
Speaking of Jews, did both of you get that video I sent you?
A single reference to Jews after World War II in Poland. Not a single reference.
Did the both of you get them videos?
So
Did you get that video I sent you?
Probably, yeah.
Did you watch it? I sent it through that link. You were supposed to download it.
God damn it. I'm living in Poland. Everything takes a while to get
He's
going.
Got 6 miles to go to the toilet, for God's sake.
Before I crank up the internet, it takes a while. You know?
I'll try.
I run to the neighbor's house for some electricity and a bucket. Then I got to crank up the old computers with the crankshaft in the back. It's not that easy. You know?
He's got to feed his homing pigeon to send a letter to his aunt.
And she's only next door.
It's actually in the outhouse right now, so the pigeon's not going in there for sure.
We got him going, Gary.
No, Steve, actually, I forgot because I have a lot of stuff going on right now in the in the physical world, I guess you could call it. But I will actually, I'll turn on the computer in a minute and I'll do it.
Well,
But
it's
regarding that, not a single article. Like I can tell you that, especially with the old generation, like the pre-war,
yes.
war, post-war generations here in Poland, Jews are actually in Europe in general, they're very, very disliked. And for a long time, I couldn't,
Is it the Jews or is
deal
it the
with it.
Zionist? Because you
Well, I mean,
can't.
like I was like, Jews. Okay, well, why are these people hated? Like why are they so hated by these people? And I was like, saying, no, don't insult the Jews, don't say that. But then I was thinking like, but wait, I mean, there must be a reason why these people don't like them.
Yeah.
There must be a reason. But then these people live amongst us, and they're hated that much. And
Was it
from
an
what I
urban
heard,
myth then?
sorry.
Was it an urban myth?
No, I mean, there's well, the main thought here is that the Jews sold this country out after the war. They took up all the highest positions of government, banking, and everything, and they sold this country out. But to my thinking,
That's
this country
Zionism then.
sold out a long time ago. This country sold out thousand about 1,000 years ago, when it was Christianized. That's when it was sold.
Well, that's still a
But
form of Zionism. I mean, that's all good. That's back down to the good old the 13 bloodlines, you know?
the 13 bloodlines, yes, the so-called reptilian bloodlines, yes.
Course.
Or
Or the Anunnaki, or whoever you want to call them these days. I don't know what name they're running by this name.
sorry, Steve.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you said Brotherhood of the Snake, which is also correct.
There's
Wasn't
me.
loads of them. There's loads of them. So, I mean, like, the game is rigged when we're born into it. You know, so the minute you've got a birth certificate, you're a straw man. You know, then they've make some. I don't know, some really weird tax system based on your birth straight away and all this sort of
You
stuff.
know
So,
about that, do you?
the straw man.
Yeah, you know about all that stuff?
A little bit. Why?
Okay, so I've been studying it for years.
Oh.
Everybody in this group's been studying it for years.
Yeah. There was, tell you how I got into accidentally. I was watching a film, The Wicker Man, with it wasn't Vincent Price, who was the other one? Was it Christopher Lee that was in it?
I think so.
Anyway, and I thought, who is The Wicker Man and what's The Wicker Man about? So I was, of course, straight away Wikipedia came up and it just read the give me a you know a synopsis of it, and then you just go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and I just found the beginning of the birth certificate and stuff like that, and how it came to the straw man. And I went, oh, I get it. It's all come around in one big circle. So, yeah, very interesting. Nothing surprises me anymore. Nothing. I give up watching news.
Oh
I
yeah,
really have.
I have too.
I just, you know, the ones that you get on on the computer that flashes up and gives you a little story, whatever, and you click into it, and you, like I said, the one about the Texas fella, but that's about it. I couldn't care less. I just look at them on the news channel, and they're just moving their mouths,
It
and
was Christopher
it might
Lee.
be. It was Christopher Lee, yes.
Edward
Who did I
Woodward
say?
also.
Yes, Edward Woodward. Yes, yeah. And I think there's a guy. I think it's Woodward TV. I think he done something on the straw man about maybe 6 or 8 months ago.
Yeah.
He's a very good YouTuber. Is that the
Woodward
term
TV.
for him? Woodward TV.
I think one of the best out there is Justin the Justinian Deception. He's an Australian. There's a couple of them that are doing things, and they just, I think they have it nailed. I could send you guys some links and stuff like that. You could watch
Yeah.
their videos.
There was one in America that I loved. He's named
They,
Black Child.
yeah. Well, these two have researched it all the way back to Emperor Justinian. And that's where their research goes to. That's where all of this originates. Is what their premise of their argument is.
Oh.
It's stunning what they've done. It really
is. Okay, send me the link. I'll look into it.
Absolutely.
And maybe next time we can have a chat about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, where I live now, there's a place called Ballylongford. It's 10 miles up the road. And the people of Ballylongford didn't even know this. So do you know the film The Exorcist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The priest that was in that was actually, maybe a few of your listeners know of him, is a guy called Maliki Martin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Well, he's basically, that's what we call him out in the sticks here, he's a neighbor of ours.
Okay.
So he moved over to, he was a part of the royal circle of the Pope and all the rest of it, and he was an exorcism.
Okay.
And very interesting fellow. Now, I've been trying to get just a small little plaque just to recognize that he lived there. Do you know, you see in London the blue plaques, Jimi Hendrix lived here in 1967 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And an awful lot of people have they've seen The Exorcist, but they never heard of Maliki Martin.
Yep.
Netflix done a really shoddy show about him. It wasn't as, you know, it wasn't as good as what it should have been.
Uh-huh.
It concentrated on him and just loosely talking. It never concentrated on his work and what he actually done. If you go on eBay now or Amazon and you go to try and buy one of his books, which I did, his books, say back when they came out in the 70s, 80s or 90s, his books would go for $10, 10 euros, whatever. Then now one of them is 1,500 euros to buy.
Wow.
What?
And that's secondhand. That's not brand new. You can't get them brand new. They're not reprinted at all.
Huh. And they're probably not going to reprint it.
No, of course. But all these little things, sorry, I diverted a little bit, but all these little things, you just kind of go, what? It's just amazing that so many local people, wherever we are, have done such an amazing things. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Am I just rambling? I don't know.
No, from my end, at least, it's 11:20 p.m. So I'm kind of drifting off. Two shows ago, I was actually, from the beginning, I was completely out of it, but I kind of tried to stay with you guys. Yes, yeah, pretty much my bedtime.
Well,
Steven to sing you a lullaby?
Yeah.
Oh, please don't. No, no. I have nightmares.
He sung me one.
I don't know about it. Don't tell me about it.
Well, I've already sent the two of you in this Skype chat here the link to his channel, but I'm going to send you another video you can probably watch first, or watch any of them first. It doesn't really matter, because they're all just spot on brilliant as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll give him a crack.
Yeah.
I'll give him a crack. And maybe next time, whatever, you know, be more organized, Gary, on my behalf. But, yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah. And even if you want to do a Q&A or whatever, and if someone wants to ask questions, and I'm sure Pavel, with the best of his knowledge, he'll answer them.
Yeah.
If he's awake, yes.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah. And I must talk to you about the Jews in Poland as well, Pavel, off air one day.
I tell you what, guys, you won't be able to download that link that I sent you last week or whatever it was, but I'm going to try to upload a video up on YouTube, and I'm going to try not to get a strike, but I'll send you guys a link if I do get it.
Yeah, no, do that.
Okay.
But there is some good ones. I mean, there's Titus Frost is another good fella to listen to. Uh-huh. I enjoy him.
Right.
Like I said, Black Child. Now, he hasn't put anything up for a year, but he was amazing.
Mm.
He was good. Who else? Obviously, I like David Icke and all the rest of them.
I like Billy Carson.
Yeah, I'm slowly getting into him.
Yeah, he's got the Compendium of Emerald Tablets. That book is apparently really awesome. It's kind of like whatever Zechariah Sitchin
did, or his
work compiled into a nice little book.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll look at today.
Yeah. Billy Carson's like one of those up and coming, truthists, you may call him, even though he's not really young. He's around 50 from what I've heard, even though he looks about my age.
67.
Yeah. About that. No.
Well, sure. I don't want to keep you fellas too much longer. Gary, you do have to get up early in the morning, and Pavel's got to get up early in the morning too. He's an hour ahead of you.
Yeah, but he's an industrious little fellow, isn't he?
What?
Industrious little fellow. That's what I said.
Okay. Industrious, doubted, little fella, even more doubted, even more so. But whatever rolls your boat there.
Whatever floats your boat.
Whatever you have there.
Yeah.
All right, kid. Uncle Paul's going to take off. I'm pretty much out of it. So
I know you are. That's why I'm That's why I'm ending it.
Yeah. Okay, guys. You have
God bless, Pavel. God bless, Steve. I'll talk to you soon, guys.
Thank you.
Okay,
lad.
Take care of yourselves. Good night.
Good night.
Steve, give my love to your mother.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you both. Okay, everyone. That's the end there. I'm going to shut it off early and play some tunes to end. So take care, everyone. Till next time.